We are reading Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, 23, Life's Ultimate Goal. And this is text 21, which is also a text from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we have two in one. It's a famous text illustrating the quality of kshanti, tolerance, patience, or perseverance, forgiveness also. Yeah, Prabhupada translates forgiveness in the previous verse. Tammopayattam pratiyantu vipra Ganga cha devi drita chittamishe Dvijopa srishta kuhakas kakshakova Dashatvalam gayata Vishnu gatha. Tam, him, ma, me, upayatam, surrendered, pratiyanto, you may know, vipra, O brahmanas, Ganga, Mother Ganges, cha, and Devi, the demigoddess, Dhrita, offered, Chittam, whose mind, Ishe, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Dvija Upa Srishta, created by the Brahmana, Kuhaka, some trickery, Takshaka, snake bird, Va, or Dashatu, let it bite, Alam, never mind, Gayata, chant, Vishnu Gata, the holy names of Lord Vishnu. Translation and purport, but he's doing grace Srila Prabhupada. O Brahmanas, this is spoken by King Parikshit on a bank of the Ganges before he is dying, 7 days before. O Brahmanas, just accept me as a completely surrendered soul and let Mother Ganges, the representative of the Lord, also accept me in that way, for I have already taken the lotus feet of the Lord into my heart. Let the snake bird or whatever magical thing the Brahmana created bite me at once. I only desire that you all continue singing the deeds of Lord Vishnu. Perfect. This is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 1.19.15 spoken by Maharaj Parikshit while he was sitting on the bank of the Ganges expecting to be bitten by a snake bird summoned by the curse of a Brahmana boy named Sringi, who was the son of a great sage named Shamika. News of the curse was conveyed to the king, who prepared for his imminent death. Many great saintly persons, sages, brahmanas, kings, and demigods came to see him in his last days. Maharaj Parikshit, however, was not at all afraid of being bitten by the snake bird. How do we call a snake bird in Slovenian? Zmaj, yes. Indeed, he requested all the great personalities assembled to continue chanting the holy name of Lord Vishnu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains the perfection of life to Sanatana Goswami, and the perfection of life is, we all know, ecstatic love for Krishna. So we need to have love, we need to have Krishna, and we need to have ecstasy, right? Fortunately, there are different kinds of ecstasy, and these are the nine symptoms, nine anubhavas that are called reliable symptoms of somebody who has reached the level of ecstatic love. And so they are listed in the previous verses, 18 through 19, Kshantir, Avyarta Kalatvam, Viraktir, Manashunyata. And the first one here is Kshanti. Kshanti means peace, forgiveness, sometimes called perseverance or patience. Kshanti. The next one is Avyarta Kalatam, not wasting time. Prabhupada puts that quality as number one. Virakti, detachment. Manashunyata, pridelessness. You may remember I asked Maharaj some time ago, how do we judge one's advancement? Because oftentimes we expect that a person advancing will manifest some external perfections or mystic powers or accomplishments. They will achieve something. I think a few days ago, we had some question about turning many people into Vaishnavas. Yeah, that's how we judge one's being in an advanced position. And Maharaj quoted these verses, that this is the true judgment of one's advancement. Because devotees are different, and somebody will have a lot of external things to show for your advancement, and at the same time, some devotees may not necessarily be so impressive externally. Can you think of someone who is very advanced, extremely advanced, but they didn't seem to really show such impressive external accomplishments? Jataya. Okay, he fought with Ravana and lost. Yeah. Is it Jadu Thakur? Thank you. I was thinking somehow of Gorkishor Das Babaji, who didn't seem to have such big following, and unless you knew him closer, or unless you have read some biographies about him, then you wouldn't even know about his great powers. At any rate, so some devotees can be recognized externally easily, some not so easily. Yeah, so Vamsidas, he was doing some things we are not supposed to be doing, yes. So, yes, and Bhaktisiddhanta ji recognized him as a very exalted devotee, so much so that he sent servants to collect his remnants and send back to the mat. Yes. So these are reliable symptoms. We have another verse in Canto 11 saying that some devotees manifest their ecstasy and advancement, some do not, and some are mixed. So how do you judge that they are an elevated soul? Mukha prasada dardya cha, by their merciful words and by their steadiness, how fixed they are in their devotion. So many verses are like this. But here we are now discussing the nine symptoms of one's advancement. Of course, here they are quoted as a proof of one's having reached the level of ecstatic love. At the same time, they are anubhavas. So anubhavas means that they follow one's stimulated attraction to Krishna, in the recipe of rasa and taste, and that means that they are conscious actions. At least I remember quite a few lectures from Srila Gopal Krishna Maharaj where he encourages us to work on these actions and many of these qualities. Like, for example, mana shunyata, not being overly proud. This is even Shikshashtaka's recommendation for chanting Hare Krishna. Yes. Amanina Manadena. So Amanina Manadena. This is something that is wanted. And today's verse 21 describes the first one, Kshanti, forgiveness. So here we have Parikshit, a world emperor who stopped the power of time. So Kali Yuga was moving on, and he stopped Kali Yuga. So he stopped time. He restricted time to just some four areas. He restricted Kali Yuga to just four areas of sinful activities, and then he complained that he can't find these in the kingdom of Parikshit. So then he also gave him a place of hoarded gold. When somebody is collecting too much gold or opulences, so that was five places where he could stay. And here suddenly he is informed that Maharaj, you have been cursed to die within 7 days. Of course, this is a famous ISKCON joke that we are all dying in 7 days. In a sense, we will die either on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, one of the 7 days. So we will die 7 days. But we don't know which days, but Parikshit at least knew which. And he could do different things. He could have counter-cursed the boy, Sringi. He could have done many things. So this is a famous verse that Niranjan Maharaj likes to quote. Tiraskrita vipralabda shapta kshipta hata api nasya tat pratikurvanti tat bhava prabhavapihi. This is 1:18:48. The devotees of Krishna, even if insulted, neglected, cheated, beaten, or killed, do not counteract this, or cursed, do not counteract this, even if they can, even if they have the power to do this. And here, Parikshit Maharaj is demonstrating this in this super famous verse, quoted in many places, saying that this dragon is coming, let him come. This dragon is biting me, so let him bite. No problem. So what do you want? He says, all I want is that the river of Krishna Katha continues flowing. That's what I want, Vishnu Gatha. The next one is also very famous. He says, Punascha bhuyat bhagavatyanante rati prasangaschatadasrayeshu mahatsuyamyam upayami srishtim maitriastu sarvatra namo dijayabhyam. So, right after this, he says, again, offering obeisances unto all you, brahmanas, namo dvijabhya. I pray that if I should again take my birth in the material world, so punascha bhuyat, let it be, let me take birth in the material world, not even desire for liberation. I just pray that I will have complete attachment to the unlimited Lord Krishna, rati, prasang, Bhagavatyanante Rati. So, complete attachment to Ananta Krishna. Association with his devotees, Prasanga Chatat Asrayeshu. And how does he call devotees? Those who have taken shelter in him, in Ananta. So not that he doesn't defy a devotee that when he walks, there is at least 1 centimeter and 3 millimeters between his feet and the floor. Right? If it's less than 3 millimeters and 1 centimeter, no, that's not so good. No, he says, one who has taken shelter, chatat ashrayeshu, one who has taken shelter in Lord Krishna. So let me have prasanga. Prasanga means deep association, not just, you know, some formal association, but prasanga, deep, meaningful association with devotees. And friendly relations with all living beings. Friendly relations with all living beings. Maitriastu sarvatra. So, friendship with all, everywhere, with all the living entities. So, this is some striking blessing that is requested repeatedly throughout Srimad Bhagavatam by extremely exalted devotees. You may recognize that these things are very close to the definition of an intermediate devotee. Yeah, four behaviors over as Prabhupada calls them, an advanced devotee on the intermediate level of advancement. This is 4, 13, 12. He says, an advanced devotee on the intermediate, he says, it's a duty, you should not remain neophytes, you should become at least intermediate advanced devotees. And these are the four behaviors. This is the definition of Madhyam Bhakta in Canto 11. And in 4.13, 10 and 11, we have Manu saying that Satam Vrata, it's the Vrata, it's the vow of Satam, of good people or devotees or sadhus or spiritual practitioners. Prabhupada would say saintly persons, but outside India, saintly person means that you have to have at least 50 watt halo. Like this is a, this is what, like 70 watt, right? Or 100 watt, probably more than 100, right? What? So to be saintly, you are supposed to have at least 50 watt halo around your head, right? Plus you must be in the canon, right? And we know that in the West, to get into the, to be canonized, the condition number one, you have to be dead. Yeah. Only for, I think John Paul II, they've changed the rules that before it was you have had to be dead for, what was it, like 30 years or some significant time. And for John Paul II, I think they've finally revised the rule that just dead is enough. You're just dead, okay, all right. It's not ideal. Some are complaining now. No, we should have waited for 30 years. Because some details do come out. Too late. Very good. So therefore, in the West, to say saints, saintly, Prabhupada very liberally says saints, saintly, but in the West we use it very differently. So there we can say satam means, the most precise translation for us would probably be practitioners of spiritual life. So the vow, satam vratam, is titikshaya karunayacha maitriyacha kilajatusha samatvena Bhagavan Samprasi Idate. Dhruva, who was slaughtering yakshas, was told by Manu, that this is the vow. Tolerance, titikshaya, karuna, mercy, maitri, friendship, and samatva, being equal or neutral. So again, we see the same four behaviors of a Madhyam Bhakta. And if you practice this, Bhagavan Samprasidate, what will be the result? The Supreme Personality of Godhead will be pleased. Samprasidate, fully pleased with you. Hare Krishna. So dear Dhruva, stop slaughtering all these yakshas unnecessarily. They were not the ones who killed your brother. So, throughout the Bhagavatam, you can see here, Parikshit Maharaj is requesting basically to eternally be a Madhyam Bhakta. He's not demanding, no, you make me the marshal or super four-star general or whatever. No, you just make me intermediately advanced devotee, and that's enough to be well situated. Sudama the florist prayers, when Krishna enters Mathura, we know that he requests for the clothes and he's refused, then he breaks the bow, he's walking throughout the city, and then he sees Sudama flowers, and he's very attracted because he has a friend Sudama, and so he's just by seeing the name of his friend, he's attracted, so he comes in. And this is a devotee, Sudama. So he immediately offers a wonderful garland to Krishna, and finishes one garland for Balaram. He offers the best garlands to Krishna and Balaram. And Krishna says, ask anything. And so he So piva vrechalam bhaktim, so he chooses unshakable bhakti, so piva vrechalam bhaktim, tasmin eva kilatmani, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the soul of the universe, or soul of everybody. Tad bhakteshu cha sohridam, sohridam, friendship with his devotees, Krishna's devotees, bhuteshu cha dayamparam, and complete compassion to all the living entities. And Krishna said, well, that's okay. I will give you full blessings that you will have full measure of all enjoyments in this life. And after that, you will go to me in the spiritual world. So, the best of everything. The best of the two worlds. Sounds very attractive to an ordinary soul. Both this and that. Really? That's very nice. But that was his request. So these four is the template how an intermediate devotee is supposed to behave in this world. And Parikshit Maharaj is showing that this is what he wants. He's manifesting his mature devotion here. And you can see, before, he didn't just surrender to Kali. He didn't just say, okay, what to do? It's time for Kali to come. So what shall I do? Let him come. No. He goes on a tour. In fact, Skanda Purana describes that this was right when Uddhava, Shri Panchatattva Ki Jai, was just about to do the Bhagavatam seminar. Because the wives, the queens of Krishna were there, missing Krishna so much, and they noticed that Kalindi Yamuna is not so sad. So they said, what's wrong with you? We are so sad in separation with Krishna, and you don't seem to be sad. What's up? And he said, well, it seems you don't really know when you meditate on Krishna Leela, and when you meditate on the Bhagavatam, you are associating with Krishna directly. She said, really? He said, yes. And you can, please, let's try it. And they started a big kirtan. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then from the grass near the Govardhan, a blue personality came out, attracted by the kirtan, and that was Uddhava, who is always there, according to his blessings, he requested. And he was attracted, and he did the Bhagavatam, but he, before doing the Bhagavatam, he told Parikshit Maharaj, you know, you just go on a tour of your empire, your kingdom, because you will get another chance, don't worry, you will get even a better Bhagavatam recited by Shukadev. That's even better than what I'm going to do now. For you, it's perfect. And you will not miss out on if you go and do your duty. So Parikshit went and toured. You see that he was with the Simha, with the flag, with Nrisimha. He was touring, and then he saw the bull and the cow and Kali, and he punished or stopped Kali, fortunately. And the queens listened to the Bhagavatam from Uddhava, and then Krishna appeared and took them all to the spiritual world. So, very happily. And then Parikshit stopped Kali, and then here you see that again it seems that Kali has entered. Kali has entered where? Kali has entered proud brahmanas. So Srila Prabhupada says that where does it all start from? It all starts from the proud brahmanas. So Srila Prabhupada sort of, he doesn't blame, this king or this that or something. He says, no, the brahmanas were the first ones to be corrupt. And, okay, this was a weak, small boy, so maybe not a full measure of responsibility because he was a child still. But, yes, so Kali and then this quarrel, unfair, unjust, accusation was thrown at him, hurled at him, and so he's now cursed to die. And he can't stop it again. So before he was considering, no, it may be Kali Yuga, but I will stop Kali Yuga, and he did stop. And now, just about 30 years later, So he's about 66, as far as I remember the calculations at this moment. When he was crowned, he was about 30, the emperor, and here it's 30 plus more years, so he's about 36 at this time. So now he says, okay, let it bite. So really, and what do you want? Well, all I want is these rati prasangas, chatadashrayesha, full attachment to Krishna, deep association with devotees, and this, that Krishna Katha continues. And we see, Prabhupada says that thanks to him, we have Srimad Bhagavatam. So thanks to him, we have Srimad Bhagavatam. He sort of sacrificed himself and brought Srimad Bhagavatam so that now, 5,000 years later, you can still get the benefit of associating with Krishna. So here he's manifesting his forgiveness and tolerance, and then he doesn't take revenge on this little boy. And verse 50 says, in chapter 18, such a nice verse, I would like to read because it's very deep. Parayasha sadavoloke parayar dvandveshu yojita navya tanti nahrishyanti yata atma gunashaya. Generally, the transcendentalists, even though engaged by others in the dualities of the material world, are not distressed, nor do they take pleasure in worldly things, for they are transcendentally engaged. Yata atma guna, aguna ashaya. So they take shelter in transcendence, therefore they, and even though others try to drag them into the duality of this material world, they are able to navyatanti nahrishanti, to neither be distressed nor overly happy by these material things, even though everybody is dragging them into the duality. So that's Parikshit Maharaj. So you can see that the same person, in one situation he was fighting, in the other situation he just accepted as Krishna's will. So we follow our duty. We fight where appropriate. I wanted to ask yesterday, because it seems Maharaj brought up this point a few days ago, that we all suffer not really from disease so much as from our sinful reactions. That's the true reason of all our suffering. Yeah? And then somebody quoted this and online, and there was a big, big discussion of, I don't know, 100 commentaries that one side, even though I think it's a completely non-controversial statement, it can be made controversial if you give some misinterpretation to it. So somebody said, so what, we now have this scandal that some, they're not really our society, our devotees, that they didn't bring their child to the doctors. And there was a big scandal that the child died because they didn't treat. So see, that's what this philosophy brings too, that you neglect disease, you neglect children. It's a very common misunderstanding. So I almost sort of asked this yesterday, but then I checked my notes. I asked this last year. So if everything is a result of our sin, then why approach doctors and take medicine? Right? It's just a sin. Just remove sin, right? So last year, Maharaj gave me the answer, aham oshadi. I am a medicine. Krishna says, I am a medicine. And we know this parable of the flood and the helicopter. Very faithful guy, is climbing the roof. No, actually, there is a big flood. Flash flood. How do you go? Flash flood? Like unexpected flood. Dam, broken dam. And it's a flash, it's called flash flood, unexpected flood. Sometimes it can even rain like this, that within few hours it raises like a few kilometers around, is flooded. I've seen such. In the mountains especially. And so the neighbors run and say, let's go, let's go. He says, God will protect me. And then it floods and floods. He goes on the roof and the boat comes. Hey, jump into the boat. No, God will protect me. And then it keeps rising. And then the helicopter is coming. And he says, no. God will protect me. And then he drowns. So then he sees God and he says, why didn't you protect me? He says, what do you mean I didn't protect you? I sent your neighbors. You refused. I sent the boat. You refused. I sent a helicopter and you still refused. What will I do? Three times I tried to do everything and you didn't accept my help. So in the human form of life, yes, we have any suffering as a result of our ignorance, and then some sin, some anarthas. You can roughly say sin, even though it's more subtle than this. Like we can say misconceptions, wrong understanding. You might not have done something really, really horrible now, but we have some misunderstanding and we need to sort of resurrender. So that's why we may, again and again, we will regularly face some tough challenges so that we can become a little more humble again and accept that we are not really so great, yes? We may be great, but not so great. So that's why we will have some circumstance, big circumstances crushing us, yes? And if you don't get, we get bored. We are looking for it. We are looking for such circumstances. This is what Carl Jung said in 1939, that you people are so bored, you are almost eager for the war to start. You're so happy that the war is starting because you feel that you are having, you're not living properly. Yes, sin or misconceptions, but also Krishna is giving the prescribed duties, and the human life has a prescribed duty to take the proper medicine. He gives, you see, Dhanvantari comes with the jug of nectar, starts the science of Ayurveda, and it has so many branches and so many levels of this Ayurveda. I don't know where is the source that there is divine medicine is by words, by mantra. Human medicine is by oshadi, not drugs, medicines, herbs, yeah. some chemical, we can, how do you call it? Something, yeah, in a good sense. How? Nutraceuticals, okay, neutral, like nutrition, okay. And then the demoniac is surgical procedures. Again, it doesn't mean that we reject any of these. They all have their place. That's in the modes, right? Because I heard this as a... At any rate, so Krishna is giving us medicine, he's giving us doctors, and it's our duty to take care. Our Srila Prabhupada was a pharmacy. He had pharmaceutical companies and he had pharmacies. Yeah, so he didn't, even though he was a very exalted devotee, he did not consider this to be something. And he was even selling ethanol and some other things that we are not, take outside of medicine, yeah, alcohol. It was part of every pharmacy will have it. Ayurvedic pharmacy will also have some compositions. So that's part of our duty. So yes, it's our sin, but it's also our duty to take the prescribed measures to counteract the sin. So there is actually no controversy in here. It's same as misuse of the word karma, so misused in the modern world. People say, oh, it's my karma, why should I work so hard? So anyway, I to finish, yesterday I didn't ask this because I saw that I already asked this and you already gave the full answer. Karma. In 1999, the coach of the national soccer team in the UK was fired. Why? Because he said he believes in karma. He believes in karma. In an interview to Daily Telegraph or Reuters, to some company, he said, and the reporter asked, "So, do you believe that people who have some disability, they are paying for some previous mistake or sin?" He says, "Yeah, most probably yes." And he was fired for being insensitive and cruel. I do hope that maybe it was 22 years ago. Nowadays, people already have a more nuanced understanding. But this is a very common misunderstanding, that karma is sort of dead, fixed thing, and therefore it's his karma, it's her karma, means we shouldn't offer help. Serves him right, serves her right, if they suffer. No, because the same books that speak about karma, they establish the first principle of religion as mercy. Before even you accept or understand, before even you even hear the word karma, you're supposed to hear the word mercy. If you don't have mercy, it's not religion. And mercy means, yes, serves him right, but you want to reduce their suffering, even though they do not deserve mercy. Mercy means it's undeserved kindness. Because if it's deserved kindness, it's not mercy, it's salary. Salary. You know, it's their payment. If it's deserved, means they did the work and you have to give them money or something. If it's deserved. But mercy means it's undeserved. So it's the first principle of religion. So therefore, it's a rather curtailed misunderstanding of the word karma, which is misapplied and misused. And for us also, you know, sometimes we do tend to either be not compassionate or not practice compassion. Madhyam Bhakta is the first thing to practice compassion. So much so that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is bringing this up he says, how about if some Mayavadi neighbor is suffering? Should you go help him? Should you go feed him? Of course, now that I ask, you already probably can guess the answer. You should come and say, ha! Yes? No. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, with regards to this apeksha, avoiding or ignoring the demonically minded, avoiding them does not mean that one should renounce all ordinary dealings one human being naturally has with another. It does not mean that if a hateful person falls into danger or want. Want means like poverty. One should not try to help him. A householder devotee has many relationships with others. By marriage, he has many relatives. By buying and selling various goods, he has many relationships. Buying and selling. So your neighborhood, especially in the village, your neighborhood shopkeeper is, you know, you have a relationship. You say hello, you say Hare Krishna. That's human life. By owning property and protecting animals, he has many relationships. You know, the neighbor car wash, you're supposed to say hello to that person. By acting to treat diseases and relieve others' sufferings, he has many relationships. The king and his subjects have many kinds of relationships. Yeah, you hired someone to paint your kitchen or something. That's a relationship. Or you got hired by him to paint his kitchen, whatever. Avoiding hateful person does not mean suddenly renouncing all these different kinds of relationships. In ordinary material dealings, one may have relationships with such persons, but in spiritual activities, such persons should be shunned. So as the result of past karma, a family member may be such a hateful person. you know, a demon relative, Hare Krishna, God forbid. Should such a person be cast out of the family? No. Without becoming attached, behave with that person as is expected in ordinary dealings. But do not share that person's ideas of spiritual life. It's Jaiva Dharma chapter 8. I mean, there are several sections like this. So this is Madhyam Bhakta behavior. Again, without taking this to the extremes. If that's your duty, you fight. If that's... And again, you can see that here the emperor decides, okay, 30 plus years is enough. And then he says, let him bite. Let the dragon bite. So what do I want? I want friendship with devotees. No, to all the living entities, a deep association with devotees, and Krishna Katha to continue flowing. As long as this goes on, I can tolerate other things. Whatever happens, even another birth. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Shri Parikshit Maharaj, ki jai, Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita, ki jai, Srila Prabhupada, ki jai. Some comments or questions, points, doubts, endorsements?
Hare Krishna. We can see that even in Bhagavatam, before somebody makes some decision in life, person always has some guidance what to do. So I'm wondering now, during your lecture, who helped Maharaj Parikshit to make right decision? Because, like example, he was Madhyama devotee. He was not self-realized soul.
Parikshit Maharaj.
Yeah. He was not self-realized soul, actually. He was Madhyama devotee, how you explain in this lecture. So
I was explaining that this was the blessing he asked for. So in other words, I didn't say he is a Madhyama. I was saying that it's a frequent request, even directly from Krishna, that becoming a good, solid Madhyama is a perfect blessing. You don't need to, you know, to be a four-star general to be satisfied. Enough to be solid Madhyam Bhakta, all the blessings are guaranteed if you study in that position.
And but you asked about... Part of my question was what or who helped him to make right decision, okay, now it is the best for me to hear from...
It's Shukran. The time. It's time to... Yeah. We know that his Kula Guru was Kripacharya in Canto 1. But also you can see here that every authority in the universe, everybody who was somebody in the universe, they came. Everybody. So that's one of the proofs that that this curse was not a lack of mercy, was not a manifestation of Krishna's indifference, but was another form of mercy, because he got all the good association in the universe. You can see that every guru in the universe, every devotee, everybody came. And he's asking all of them, what to do? What should I do? And then finally they see Shukadeva Goswami, and everybody accepts Shukadeva Goswami as the ultimate best authority here.
Thank you, I understand. One more question can I ask? I am now thinking about Maharaj Parikshit from this view when I'm living in, for this particular moment. Maharaj Parikshit just do his duty or his life. How he become so exalted personality since he didn't chant 60 rounds and I don't know what? Just I'm asking, I'm thinking about that. It was obviously a different time completely.
How do you know he didn't?
I didn't see in Srimad Bhagavatam that quote.
Maybe he was, you know, chanting in his behind the closed doors. Easily. I mean, he was doing whatever was appropriate for that yuga, and he was always happy to hear and speak Krishna Katha. It is mentioned that he was always absorbed in Krishna Katha. It is mentioned. So he was. So Hare Krishna is for the time after he departed, accepted.
It was different rules to be Krishna conscious that time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exalted birth and so on. Obviously, to be born in exalted position, exalted family, to rise up with a family who talk to him Krishna Katha or something like that.
It's mentioned he was engaged in Krishna Katha, and in the previous yuga, the method was deity worship. That was also his full engagement. He was fully engaged in deity worship. It's mentioned. Yeah. Shridevi Madhuri?
I just wanted to add a little bit to that. Maharaj Parikshit saw Krishna in the womb when Uttara prayed for the Lord to protect her baby. And ever since then, he was searching for the Lord. So he was pure devotee because he actually saw the Lord. And as Adipurush Prabhu mentioned, he followed all the rules of Kshatriya princely behavior and ruled the kingdom exemplary, in an exemplary manner. So he fulfilled whatever dharma and whatever kingly, princely duties he had to perform and perfected his life like that. So he was actually ready for that stage to be taken back to Godhead, and Krishna arranged for him to be cursed, actually, so that he came back home, back to Godhead. My question was about karma. You mentioned about karma and how, you know, our sufferings are because of our past, or enjoyment is also coming from our past sinful and pious deeds. Now, having knowledge of this may sometimes make that suffering easier to bear, that there is something from my past. Yes. But people who have no knowledge at all and who only expect enjoyment all the time, for them the suffering is very great because they cannot make out head or tail of why the suffering is happening, and they're constantly trying to mitigate it by more enjoyment. So having this knowledge gives so much relief from having to look for enjoyment as a way to mitigate suffering rather than take to the devotional service of the Lord, because then it becomes a karma. At least for the future, you're not making more bad karma or good karma too.
Yes. Yeah.
So just wanted to point out how much devotional service is a great benediction for the living soul. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Yes. With regards to karma, I just wanted to point out that there is two parts of karma. One is sanchita, one is kriyamana. So karma from the previous lives and karma that we continue collecting in or creating in this life. And of the two, which is more important? Kriyamana, in this life. This is what Hitopadesha says, nahi suptasya simhasya pravishanti mukhe mriga. It's the karma of the lions to eat rabbits. That's his karma. Rabbits, hares, zaitse. Yes. But nahi suptasya simhasya pravishanti mukhe mriga. But if he's just sleeping, they don't come and jump into his mouth. That's his karma. But he has to work really hard. That's his karma. But karma plus effort. And of the two, effort is more important. According to Hitopadesha and Bhishmadev in Mahabharata. Because for our karma to be manifest, we have to also add whatever carrying out our duty in this life is there. Whatever is necessary. So that's what karma is. Not just the past life, but also this life, what we are doing. But it's also important to know that it continues for many lives. And there are some things which we can change easily. There are some things which you can change with effort. And there are some things we are stuck with. You're just stuck with certain things, and it's no point being anxious about them. Just you can see that proper mood of a transcendentalist, not even a devotee, any transcendentalist, is to surrender, means to accept and work for Krishna's pleasure. So whatever is our place, we accept and try to make effort for Krishna's pleasure within our frame, the framework of our duties, within the framework of our service, without being influenced by our emotions too much. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Offering everything to Krishna, including our emotions and minds and everything else. Thank you very much.
Hare
Krishna.